Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. He is worthy. Again, 1 Kings chapter number 1, verse 28, 29, and 30. Amen, amen. Beauty from your ashes. In life, we all have the rights to make choices. We can choose what we wear, where we attend school. We can attend whatever university that this land has for us. We can even choose who we're going to date, who we're going to marry. We have choices. We get to make those choices, exercise those choices, with the exception of you can't choose the family that you're born into. That being the case every week, I would leave you. I love you. That we can't choose which family that we're going to be born into. God obviously has a plan for allowing you to be born in that family. And so even though you're born in that family, and you may not like your family, because we have those days, God looks beyond your comfort zone, and God begins to deal with generational stuff. And when God is dealing with generational stuff, we are so quickly to throw out things that is passed from one set of parents to the next. You know, my father had health issues, therefore I'll have them. And my mother has these issues, and therefore I'll have them. And they just pass down from one generation to the next generation. I came this morning to tell you the devil is a liar. And just like the Bible speaks about generational curses,
yes,
and how the sins of our fathers can be passed down to the third generation,
yes,
the Bible also declares about generational blessings.
Right.
Why are we so quick to own sin, so quick to own curses, but we fail to own the millions and millions of hours that your forefathers have spent praying for you, and somebody's been praying for you? I want the blessings in which they have petitioned God for. That I claim, that I stand, and I say, God, that's what I want. So this morning, as we understand both generational curses and generational blessings, we're going to look at a young man by the name of Solomon.
All right, ma'am.
And the truth of the matter is, there's nothing really special about Solomon. Solomon was born to parents just like you and I. He just ended up being the wisest and the most wealthiest man that ever lived. Now, I think that's pretty good considering he was born in a dysfunctional family.
Yes, Lord.
That's a big word, dysfunctional. I mean, your daddy get drunk and your mama sleep around. Dysfunctional. I mean, you don't know where your sister is and she's creeping out the window. Dysfunctional. We all have dysfunctionality in our family. Don't act like your family all together. Come on. Solomon, we'll have to talk about David, we'll have to talk about Bathsheba, we can just talk about our own family, because every family in here got some issues, every family in here got some outside child, every family in here dealing with some, quit acting like you got it all together, we all struggling, we all come from a dysfunctional family, but thank God that he sent his only begotten I'm going to tell you something in a minute. Solomon was born to a family that was dysfunctional.
Yes.
His daddy, David, was looking one day, looked over and saw Bathsheba taking a bath. Because David was the king. David said, I want some of Bathsheba. So he asked if somebody would go and get Bathsheba, bring Bathsheba to his crib. And when Bathsheba came over, I can only imagine that David lit the candlelights and turned on some nice music, because you know David was a musician, Chuck. And I'm sure he had some Luther and the Lord going at the same time. Bathsheba got caught up in the moment, and David asked for something that he should not have asked for, and she said, come on, baby, let's do this thing. And a few months later, something showed up. Her tummy began to come out, and it wasn't a watermelon seed. But God, out of his wisdom, somehow allowed that child to die.
Yes, Lord.
And the 7 days while the child was alive, every day David was fasting and praying and calling out to the Lord and said, Lord, just please spare my child.
All right.
But God still took that child.
Right.
When God took that child, instantly David stood up, went to worship, and said, God, I thank you in spite of. He went home, ate, went back into the same room with Bathsheba to do it all over again.
Right.
Now that's us. God brings us out of something. 7 days later, we run right back into it. This time, God says, I'm going to bless that mess.
All right, now.
So from David and Bathsheba, a little boy named Solomon was born.
Yes, Lord.
When Solomon came about, God showed favor on Solomon.
Yes.
Point number one this morning is this. To whom you are born to don't necessarily block out your blessings. We gotta stop. Well, you know my parents, and you know where I come from. God don't care anything about that. He put you in that family so you can break the generational curses. He put you in that family so that you can dream dreams that nobody has ever did before. He put you in that family so you can cause a breakthrough. Stop trying to live somebody else's dream. You don't have to copy somebody else's dream. You don't have to dress like, act like, talk like somebody else. That's why I love these kids today, because they got flavor and they let it flow. They don't care what you think. They can come praise God and their hair's long and twisted. They know God is not concerned about that, but you still stuck on what they wear.
All right now. All right now.
To whom you're born to doesn't necessarily block out your blessings. Now, Solomon was born to a killer, an adulteress, and just a whoremonger for parents. But God still blessed the mess. See, your parents are not the standard. The scripture is the standard. Stop looking at your parents and say, well, you did it. I can do it. No, baby. I'm not going to do it because the word of God said, don't do it. And I've used the scripture as the standard. God will bless my mess in spite of how I got there. In spite of my generational curses. In spite of what my parents did. God will still bless the mess. To whom you're born to, it's not necessarily an indication that your blessings will be broken.
Alright.
Point number two. Beauty is often born in a bad situation. Sometimes the worst of situations produces the best blessings you ever could imagine. Y'all church folk, listen. Sometimes when you go through something and God bring you out of that thing and you thought it was the end and what you lost in the storm, God gives you double for your trouble on the other side. Oh, he can do that thing. He can allow a bad situation to produce something real good. And I love the Lord because when God looks at my life and look at your life, he know how ugly it is. He know how bad it is. But he'll do amazing things if you allow. Won't God work it out for you? God is not concerned about where you came from. He's concerned about where he's trying to take you. And notice I said trying to take you, because you get to make the choice as to whether or not you want to ride. God is willing to take you if you want to go. But in the midst of getting there, you're going to go through hell and high water, but you will get there. I know what I said. These kids are right. Beauty is often born out of a bad situation. Now, watch this. Because the dumb acts of the parents produce the most intelligent, wisest child. How can something so stupid that the parents did end up producing the world's best, smartest, wealthiest child? Because you gotta understand, that baby that you in love with, God loves him more than you love him. You gotta understand, even though you got a vision and a plan for your child, God has something greater. That's why you gotta let go and let God. That's why the scripture says you gotta train up the child the way he should go. Understanding the uniqueness of every child. You can't raise Pookie the same way you raise Ray Ray. They're two different people. You gotta know your children. And so he says, train them up because they're unique. So you got to study them. And once you study them, then you'll know what works for which one and what does not work. See, God can always bless a mess if you turn it over to him. See, what God is after is obedience.
All right.
Amen.
If you obey him, he'll do an amazing thing.
Yes.
But he simply wants obedience. Look at the next point. God will turn your mess into a message.
All right.
He will turn your mess into a message. You don't have to tell someone that you're a child of God.
All right.
And what's amazing about God sometimes is when you begin to go through something, sometimes God swing open your closet door so everybody can see your mess. And there you are, you're all upset because you're going through something and everybody know what you're going through. And you trying to say, God, I wish you would have covered that thing. And God is saying, no, I needed somebody to see that thing, because you coming out of that thing. And when you come out of that mess, you got a message to preach. You got a word for somebody. Sometimes in the church, everybody all cute, and we don't think church folk go through something. Baby, I came to tell you this morning, I go through hell and come back too. And you going through hell and you come back too. And I don't care where you are, we need to quit thinking like we got it all together. Sometimes God will lead you on the backside of the mountain. Sometimes God will lead you. But don't you be despair. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should lie. If he said it, it shall be done. He said he'll promise to never leave you. You can bank on that. He said that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. You can bank on that. He said I sit closer than a brother. You can bank on that. He said I supply all of your needs. You can bank on that. He said I created you to be the head and not the tail. You can bank on that. He said I created you to be the...
Yes.
The prophet Isaiah writes about ashes. He says that God God in Isaiah 61:3. It says that God will give you beauty for your ashes. See, in other words, sometimes God will allow you to go through something because ashes in the Bible represents a time in your life when you're either grieving or humiliation. Humiliation is when God allows folks to see what you're going through.
All right.
When God allows people to see what you're going through, quite often what people will do is laugh at you, call you everything but a child of God. In the midst of you going through, they won't encourage you. They'll hang out together and they'll tell more lies on you. I'm giving somebody permission this morning to tell the haters in your life, F you. Fight your battles. You got to get out of God's way. He doesn't care about your situation. He doesn't care about the dysfunction family that you came from. He's not concerned about any of that. He says, I know sometimes in life you're going to be humiliated, but that's all right. He says, I'm still going to smile on you because his favor is not fair. Now, you may deserve what you're going through, but God, because he loves you, steps in and said, that's enough of that. I'm ready to give you double for your trouble if you expect a miracle. I'm ready to turn your situation around if you expect me to do something for you. God will always step in and fight for his children. Come on and stand. Let's get out of here this morning. Have you been blessed this morning? Have you been blessed this morning? Have you been blessed this morning?